Welcome back to Your Turn. This is Mike Covey. Glad to have you with us. We're going to move to the benefits portion of the program. Specifically, first up, we're going to talk about people who are thinking about retiring. If you're even thinking about it, I think a lot of people believe what you do, you put in your 20, 30, or 40 years, turn in your papers to personnel, bid adieu, have a party or lunch or a dinner, and then that's it. But John Elliott, a benefits expert, who is himself retired from the government, says there are a number of things you should be doing if you're within, what, a year of retirement, John, or
well,
further
even
out?
Well, sooner than that. First of all, it's never too early to plan for retirement. So if you're getting to a year, I won't say you're too late, but it's getting there. The first thing I would not retire without attending a retirement seminar. And full disclosure, I have retired from doing retirement seminars, my second job. So I have no vested interest in saying that, but I'll just give you one example of, I still answer emails for the National Institute of Transition Planning, for whom I was doing retirement seminars and just decided I didn't want to do them anymore. But I got an email from a woman, and her agency didn't tell her something, and the end result was she got slightly less of an annuity than she was expecting to get based on an estimate from her agency. We cover that issue. I won't go into what it is, but unless you want me to. But if she'd attended a retirement seminar, at least the one I was giving, and I hope the others at NITP cover this, she would have known about it. Well, and so to amplify on that, to extend that point, I get a lot of emails, and almost none of them, it seems, have ever attended a seminar. And a lot of these people are either retired, as she is, or close to retirement. And it's clear, if they attended a retirement seminar, unless they slept through it, they would know the answer to these questions. Now, at the end of when I was doing seminars, which I just stopped doing, I would always, at the end of the show, the program, say, here's my email address. Because your agency paid for this seminar, we provide the service for free. You can email me with any question you want, no limit, for the rest of your life, or the rest of my life, anyway. And surprisingly, I don't get many emails from the people that were in my seminar, which I'm going to
maybe
a good sign, because they've learned enough where they don't have any further questions.
The thing I found, that I attended a couple of seminars at the Washington Post, you know, way back, and also I've attended some of yours and some others given, and it seems to me that at almost every one, you almost see the proverbial light bulb go up over somebody's head, and oftentimes it's not necessarily something that you have given as a structured lecture, you know, bullet points, although sometimes it is, but oftentimes somebody will ask a question. It's the serendipity factor.
Something else will trigger a question,
exactly,
and they'll get the answer. So that's one, number one.
Go to retirement.
Absolutely. Find a retirement seminar. If your agency, and there are some that don't provide that service to their employees, which is too bad, but I would go and lobby your agency, whomever would be responsible for something like that, and see if they will bring in either my former company or some other company to do a retirement seminar. But if they say no, then we don't have the money for it. Then there are seminars available for individuals. In fact, National Institute of Transition Planning provides what we call open enrollment seminars. And if you want to find out when the next one is in your area, just go to the website NITPINC.com, and there'll be a schedule of seminars. So now you may be forced to pay for it, but I'll tell you, for a few hundred dollars, which I think is what it costs, I don't really know for the exact figure, but it's for a few hundred dollars, it's well worth it.
Well, I remember one time you, as a favor, counseled a friend one-on-one, and she had been told something by her agency that she was going to have to work for a considerably longer period and that her annuity would be and it would have been less. But what they didn't tell her was something you knew about, a change in the law, that, in fact, she was grandfathered, or I think in her case, grandmothered in to this kind of deal, so she could retire sooner, and she could do certain things that would increase her annuity tremendously. And I saw, near tears in that situation. I think you know what I mean.
Oh, I know what you mean.
And the other thing, I think, before we leave the seminar bit, and if you have to pay for it yourself, pay for it yourself.
Yeah, it's not going to bankrupt
things
you.
Things you learn include, again, we see the light bulb, the five-year rule. If you're going to retire, maybe earlier than you planned or something, if you haven't had health insurance coverage for the 5 years prior to retirement, in many cases you have two choices: either keep working till you get that 5 years, or leave and go without health insurance, which could be a major.
Oh, you don't want to leave without the health insurance. I know you're referring to an email we both read. From a lady who may be offered an early out, not she specifically, her position, and by her agency. And she doesn't have 5 years under a federal employee health benefits plan, so she's wondering if she can get a waiver. Well, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
In the 90s, OPM gave blanket waivers to people who were being separated, and I may have the history on this a little askew, involuntarily. If you were caught in the 90s downsizing that the Clinton administration, and you didn't meet the five-year requirement, but you otherwise qualified for retirement, early retirement, they would waive that rule. But I'm not aware that they've done that since then. Now, I could be wrong because I haven't been at OPM since 1995. But the point is, you can't count on the waiver.
Yeah.
And I would advise her, if she doesn't get a waiver, I think I did, just hang around you do. Because that health insurance
And sign up for the health insurance when the open season comes up.
You never want to forfeit that.
If you're a working Fed and your spouse, your partner is a private sector person, you still want to get health insurance, even if you buy a single policy. You want coverage just to give you – it's insurance to have insurance.
Having federal health insurance for the rest of your life and potentially your spouse's life is an incredible benefit, and it may well mean you don't have to sign up for Part B Medicare at 65, which costs. There's a monthly premium to that.
Yeah. Okay, John, on the checklist, go to a seminar. We've explained why you should go to a seminar. And you say start early. Don't plan. Don't start the last 6 months, the last year of your service.
Well, plan early. Go as early as you can. I've had people come up to me and say, this is my second seminar. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've actually taken a second one because they took one back a few years ago. Both good ideas.
Well, you learn what you don't know.
Yeah, both good ideas. But look, don't be afraid. If you're a few months away from retirement and your agency is offering you a seminar, or you can purchase your own seminar, open enrollment seminar, by all means, do it.
Well,
it's never too late. I don't want to create the impression that it's, if you're within a year of retirement, it's too late. No. You still need to go.
And some agencies do a really good job with this. FBI comes to mind.
Oh, sure.
Some of the defense agencies. CIA has a very good program. Okay, so rule one, plan ahead, start as soon, go to a retirement seminar. If you get a chance to go to two, go to two. What else?
Well, if you owe any deposits.
Oh, excuse me, John. We need to take a break here. Be right back talking with John Elliott about planning for retirement.
Just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Tradition never graduates. Come spend a day in Annapolis with your family, friends, and Navy football. See the midshipmen take on the Troy Trojans for Scout and Senior Day, Saturday, November 5th at 3:30 p.m. at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. Join us for a game day atmosphere like no other. Buy your tickets today. Come see Navy take on Troy, November 5th at 3:30 p.m. Order now by calling 1-800-US-4-NAVY or by logging on to NavySports.com.
Level 3 Communications enables federal agencies to be agile with scalable solutions like content delivery and SIP trunking. Be secure with cloud solutions, purpose-built for the federal government. Be prepared with best-in-class data center and storage area network solutions. Be connected to the company that invests in bringing their network direct to you. Level 3 services are available on Networks Enterprise and Which 3 contracts. To learn more, visit level3.com/federal. Level 3. Think ahead.
In anticipation of an upcoming engineering services contract supporting NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, a team of premier engineering companies is seeking outstanding professionals to work on NASA's current and future space and earth science satellite missions. Join the Kinetic North America team Wednesday, November 9th between 2 and 7 p.m. at the Greenbelt Marriott in Maryland. Learn more about the Omnibus Multidiscipline Engineering Services contract and its exciting career opportunities. For more information, visit kinetic-na.com.
IT Professionals, the American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council's Academy, is a unique interactive training and education program designed specifically for the federal IT community, both government and industry. Courses in leadership, best practices, and project management start soon, so don't wait. Register today at www.actgov.org/academy. That's www.actgov.org/academy.
When every moment matters and a hand reaches out, when someone gives blood and a life is saved, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Every day, the Red Cross responds to nearly 200 neighborhood emergencies, and your support makes it possible. Use this moment to join us today. Visit redcross.org.
It's the Geico Gecko with a little hello to all you federal employees. Now, in government, there are people on all points of the political spectrum. But there is one thing that everyone agrees on. Saving money is good. Which brings me to the big news. Geico offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. It don't matter if you're a Democrat or an aristocrat, left wing, right wing or a chicken wing. If you're a federal employee GS7 or above, you could be saving a lot of money on your car insurance by switching to Geico. So no matter if you're blue, or red, or in my case, green. If you're a federal employee, GS7 or above, contact Geico and see how much you could save. Isn't that right, Mike?
Exactly right, my little green friend. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. And like the Gecko said, discounts are available for most federal employees, GS7, the equivalent, or above. Just call Geico at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local Geico office to see how much you could save.
Have you been in government contracting, procurement, or acquisition for 30 years? NCMA has. Join the National Contract Management Association for the 30th Annual Government Contract Management Conference, November 14th and 15th in Bethesda, Maryland. The conference draws more than 1,000 government contract management professionals. Hear from respected speakers such as Scott Gould, Deputy Secretary, Department of Veterans Affairs, Martha Johnson, Administrator, GSA, and Shay Assad, Director, Defense Pricing, DOD. Learn more at ncmahq.org today.
This is Mark Amtower. For 27 years, I've advised hundreds of large and small contractors on the best marketing tactics to reach key government buyers and influencers. Collectively, my clients have made billions of dollars by maximizing the value of their contracts. If you need to maximize the value of your GSA schedule, GWAC, or IDIQ, or you need to raise your overall visibility in the government market, we need to talk. Make certain your marketing budget pays major dividends. Contact me at federaldirect.net.
Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey talking to benefits expert John Elliott, who has had a long career in government, worked for a number of federal agencies, and including with the Office of Personnel Management. And he's giving us sort of a primer today on preparing for retirement. And I said in the column today that you should at least a year out start preparing. John says, in fact, you want to start preparing much earlier than that. It's Yeah, but sooner is better than later. Go to at least, go to one if you can, but if there are two retirement seminars, go to them, pre-retirement seminars. You'll learn a lot from the presenters, and you'll learn a lot from the questions that people ask. So John, what else is
if Well, you I would add to that. I would also, if you can find a mid-career seminar, which people offer, or don't miss your new employee seminar orientation. Now, sometimes they bring in outside people who know about benefits to do those. Those are also valuable. When I say it's never too early, you should start planning when you walk in the door, because obviously you're going to be under FERS, and a big portion of the FERS retirement is the thrift savings plan. And it is vitally important to start contributing to that as much as you can as soon as you start employment. I mean, maybe you can't afford to do the IRS maximum, which for 2012 is $17,000 a year, but do as much as you can and at least get the 5% match, so at least contribute equivalent of 5% of your salary, because that other 5% match from your agency is free money. So those are the types of things you need to know about as soon as possible. Now, the other aspects of your retirement system, the FERS annuity and Social Security, sure, you can delay learning about those for a while. But the sooner you know things, the more you're able to adapt to changes and plan for retirement. I started to say before the commercial break that you should, if you have any outstanding civilian deposits, like you may have had temporary service, your first job in the government, that's not uncommon, but you didn't pay into the retirement fund. So you may have a deposit there. If that service under FERS was prior to 1989, they'll take a deposit for that and you get credit for that service, and it's very cost effective to do so. If you left the government, took a refund of your retirement contributions under both the CSRS and FERS system, you can redeposit that money and reclaim credit for that service. And then
you're
their military
back extra years.
It usually is cost effective unless you left and took a CSRS refund for a period of service that ended prior to March 1, 1991. Then it is. They give you credit for it without making the redeposit. So the answer is it's probably not cost effective to make the redeposit in those cases. But if you're a veteran with active duty service or military retiree, you have an opportunity to make a military deposit. And usually that is cost effective to do so, particularly under FERS. If you have just a few years active duty service and you're not getting military retired pay, always want to pay that military deposit because it's cost effective to do so, and it allows you to get double credit in your Social Security benefit for your military service and your FERS annuity. Very cost effective thing to do. So those types of things you should look at. Another mistake that federal employees make is they don't take advantage of the calculators that are available to them. One of the most valuable is the TSP calculator at TSP.gov, which can project your TSP account balance in the future based on certain assumptions. It can convert that projected account balance into an annuity or equal monthly payments or monthly payments based on life expectancy tables delivered by the IRS, and it's a wealth of information. If you don't use the TSP calculator, as far as your TSP account, which is, as I said earlier, can be half or more than half, ultimately, of your retirement income, you're flying blind. You have no idea what your retirement outlook is. There's a calculator that estimates your FERS annuity at opm.gov called the Ballpark Estimator. You can also get an idea of what your Social Security benefit will be. There are several ways. At ssa.gov, they have a calculator too. But you get those annual statements. I guess they're not going to mail them anymore, but you can get them online where they actually, if you have 40 credits, which is what you need to get a Social Security retirement benefit, They tell you what you would get at 62 based on certain projections they make and assumptions they make, and what you'd get at your full Social Security retirement age, which can range from 65 to 67, depending on your year of birth. And finally, they give you one at age 70. So if you delay taking your Social Security benefit to age 70, you find out you get what they call delayed retirement credits, which adds 8% a year for each year beyond your full retirement age that you delay taking Social Security. So those are three things for our FERS folks that are indispensable for planning for retirement. And I find the few people who use the calculators and then take a seminar after that come in better prepared.
Well, I knew
those are the people that seem to know what questions to ask. Yeah. Now, what they do learn, if they're not aware of these calculators, that they're made aware of them in my seminar, because I say, by all means, this is a very significant part of retirement planning, is consult these calculators.
Well, I knew that there was a benefit to delaying your retirement, a financial benefit,
Social Security. Yeah.
But I had no idea it was 8% a year.
So if your full retirement age is 66, and that includes a bunch of people that are born between 43 and 1954, if you delay it 4 years, that's 32% increase in your Social Security benefit. So if you can afford to go without your Social Security benefit till 70, you'll get significantly greater
money. That benefit is indexed to inflation, too, so that you can't beat that. That's like the federal
annuity.
Yeah,
and your FERS annuity, we should add, is also indexed to inflation under the so-called Diet Cola formula. But both are. And so definitely use the calculator.
When you're buying back time, military time or previous federal time, how much is each year worth? Is there a percentage figure?
Well, under FERS, you get 1% for each year of service times your high three average salary, prorated monthly. If you retire under FERS at age 62 or later, and you have at least 20 years of service, you get a little more. You get 1.1% times your high per year, prorated monthly. Under SERS, it's a little more complicated, but still easy. For the first 5 years of service, you get 1.5%. Second 5 years, you get 1.75%. And for each year above 10, you get 2.0%. So it's almost double the annuity that you get under FERS. But you know, those are fairly easy to estimate without even using a calculator. You can do that by hand, so to speak.
I want to ask you before we run out of time here. OPM has been criticized in the past for being slow to get people their full annuity payment. And I know you and others have counseled that people should have a bunch of money set aside for a rainy day. How's that going?
The last I heard, not well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe people were saying 6 to 8 months. I think it's maybe worse than that currently, and I'd be happy to be wrong about that because, you know, I don't, you know,
right.
I'm not there at OPM, haven't been for years.
Well, and also, they blamed it a lot of it on the fact that it's mechanical. I mean, it's done by people.
Let's take my spouse. Take my wife.
Take my wife, please.
Right. Okay. She was a former OPM employee for at least for a while, and it was 6 months or so had gone by, and she hadn't been put in final yet. So I called a person I knew at OPM, and boom, it was taken care of. But I'm not going to do that for anybody but my spouse.
That's right, yeah.
And so you're out there on your own. The best thing to do is write your congressman.
Jolie's giving us the hook here. Thank you, Johnny Ellick, for being here. We'll see you next week. Remember, we're archived on the homepage, so you can listen to this show again. We're glad to have you, and stay safe out there.